This afternoon, if you turn in your Bibles to 1 John, we want to pick up where we left off this morning with the last portion of chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, and I wanted to begin at verse 43 through the end of the chapter. Jesus is in the process of calling his disciples. As we saw this morning, some of his disciples had been following John, listening to what John the Baptist had been preaching, had repented and were desiring to learn from him, and John introduced them to Jesus, and they began to follow after the Lord. Now in chapter verse 43, begins the following day, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of the Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing that come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Now Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word this afternoon. Help us to be encouraged as we look at the fact that you know us before we knew you. And Lord, help us to see that you know all about us. And we cannot hide or fool you, and you aren't deceived. And Father, help us to see that you are calling us to walk with you, that we may experience fellowship with you and the joy and peace that can be found in you. Lord, speak to us through your word this afternoon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Philip, Andrew, and Peter were from Bethsaida. We don't even know for sure exactly where Bethsaida is. The city was destroyed. When we were in Israel, I believe they mentioned when we were up in the north in the Galilee area about something about Bethsaida, but they didn't know exactly where it was because it had been destroyed. But they were from Bethsaida, and they moved their fishing operations to Capernaum because that's where they later lived, was at Capernaum. Peter's mother-in-law's house, the remnants of it, are in Capernaum. And, of course, the Catholic Church has built a shrine over it. So if you want to look at the remnants of Peter's mother-in-law's house, you either have to pay the Catholics a few dollars to go inside so you can look through their glass floor, or you have to kind of squat down and look underneath the cathedral. And then you can see the remnants of the house. But they were from Capernaum, and later on that is where Jesus would spend a lot of his time during his earthly ministry would be in the northern regions of the Galilee, up in Capernaum. And he is calling people from that region. Now, it's interesting as you look at the disciples that Jesus calls, and we're not going to look at all of them today, we're just going to be concentrating on Philip and Nathanael this afternoon. But as looking at all the disciples, one of the interesting things about them is they were all from northern Israel with the exception of one. And does anybody have any idea who the one disciple that was not from northern Israel was? Nope. Judas Iscariot, yeah, right. Judas Iscariot was from south of Jerusalem. And he was the only one that wasn't from the northern portion of Israel. All the rest of Jesus' disciples were up from that area. And It's also interesting, just a side note that's really not in tonight's lesson, but just to tie to that, at the Last Supper, Jesus gave the place of honor to Judas Iscariot, and the other disciples probably wondered because he was the only one who was from not around their region. He also had connections with people in Jerusalem, which were not good connections. But anyway, so we see that Philip and Nathanael are from both up in this portion of the Galilee. But Nazareth was not looked upon as being a great town. Nazareth, by others in that, even in that region, people from the north, Galileans, were looked down upon from those that lived in Jerusalem. It would be really like the country people and the city people. That was kind of the way it was. And you saw that when the Sanhedrin, members of the Sanhedrin, who the majority of them, if not all of them, would have been from Jerusalem or that area, talked about the Galileans. They were wondering how they knew and were able to talk so well and say these things, because they said they're Galileans. They're not well-spoken people. They look down upon them. Well, if you stop and imagine that the Galileans look down upon Nazareth, it shows you the pecking order of Israel. And so we see here that Jesus is coming and he talks and calls Philip to come and follow him. As I mentioned this morning, you will see that Jesus, to more than one of his disciples, says, "Come, follow me." And they pick up and come and follow him. And this is pretty amazing when you stop and think. They had livelihoods, they had families, they had businesses. We know that at least four of them were in the fishing business. Matthew was a tax collector working for the Roman government. Nathanael was a zealot fighting against the Roman government. Doesn't give us exactly what Philip's occupation is, but he has a Greek name, so there's some connection with Greece there. But the thing is, all of these people, when Jesus said, "Come follow me," they'd pick up and drop everything they were doing and come and follow him. And because they understood and they saw, even before they understood that he was the Messiah completely and all that that meant, they saw and understood he was the Messiah. We see that here in the way that they're talking about him. We saw that Andrew introduced Simon to the fact that Jesus was this one who they've been waiting for. Philip, when Jesus calls him, he immediately goes to find Nathanael. And they must have been acquaintances or friends. And what is his response when he goes to find him? "Philip findeth Nathanael, just as Andrew findeth Simon Peter. And he went and found him. And he saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." Now, what was that they wrote in the law and the prophets? The Messiah. And also this prophet that would be greater than Moses that would come one day. And so this prophet and this Messiah is with us. And then he tells them who he is. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael, you can just about see him. He's getting all excited, and then he says, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he's going, "Nazareth? Nazareth?" And what's his response? He says, and Nathanael said unto him, "Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? You're saying the Messiah is coming out of Nazareth?" Now, they knew that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. They knew that the Messiah was to one day take the throne of David in Jerusalem. They knew that the Messiah was to be a prophet and a priest and a king, but from Nazareth? And it's amazing. A lot of people look at Jesus and they think, well, you know, if he was just a little different, it would have come under different circumstances. If he would have just had a different, if there would have been something. But really, can we really believe? How many people have you heard say that? Well, yeah, I think Jesus was a good man. I think Jesus was a moral teacher. I think Jesus was this or that. But really, the Son of God, the Messiah, well, he was from Nazareth. There's a lot of people that have the same hang-ups today. They find reasons not to believe in Jesus. This was Nathanael. He was going to find a reason not to believe. And the reason was, he's from Nazareth. Well, what happens is Jesus immediately deals with this issue. Well, Philip says, come and see. You know, don't believe just what I'm saying, but come and see, meet this man, hear and listen to him talk, and see what you think then. So Nathanael agrees. Now, Nathanael, the Lord speaks about Nathanael when he comes. Jesus has never met Nathanael, and Nathanael has never met Jesus. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Now, what does he mean by no guile? No guile means there is no deceit, there is no wickedness, there is no evil. He is a righteous, true Israelite. He is someone who desired to know the truth, live the truth, abide by the truth. That was Nathanael. And he was a zealot. He was one seeking to overthrow the Romans and bring Israel back to its glory. He wanted to see the Lord worshipped. That was Nathanael. The problem was, Nathanael was trying to do everything in his own strength. And he thought that he could do it in his own strength if we could just get enough guys together. Nathanael would have fit in very well with a lot of Christians in America today that have the same attitude. They are zealots. They have zeal. They want to see America brought back to greatness. But the problem is they don't want to humble themselves before the Lord and ask God to do it and go in God's strength and power. They think they can do it in and of themselves. That was Nathanael. Well, the Lord says, he calls him an Israelite in whom there is no guile. There couldn't have been a higher compliment that Jesus could have given the man. But there's one problem. He's a sinner that needs to be saved by grace, and he needs to come to God through the Messiah like everybody else. And so the Lord is still going to deal with Nathanael, and he's going to show him that he needs to be humbled, and he needs to look to the Lord and understand where his power and strength is going to come from. And Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Why? Because he had said, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, and thou art the King of Israel. Why? Because he told Nathanael, he had said that he saw, I skipped a verse, but we'll go back there. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered him and said unto him, and now he said, why do you know me? Because he's saying, well, Nathanael's thinking, well, he's got that right. I'm an Israelite who is an Israelite who desires to walk according to the truth. I'm an Israelite who desires to see the temple come back to glory, the truth to come out, all the wickedness that's brought on by the Romans and Greek influence to be done away with, and that Israel become Israel again. But how does Jesus know me? How could he possibly know me? And a lot of people ask the same thing. How could the Lord know us? He says, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, Nathanael was probably sitting under a fig tree meditating, and Philip went and got him. That's the kind of the picture you're given of here. But the thing is, Jesus saw him under that fig tree before Philip even thought about going to get him. Why? Because Jesus is God. And what this does, when Nathanael hears this, all of a sudden he forgets about Nazareth. And he forgets about the fact that Jesus is referred to as the son of Joseph, out of Nazareth, a Nazarite, and that nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Well, there's something good here, because how does he know these things? How could he see me sitting under a fig tree when he's way over here and Philip comes and gets me and brings me to Jesus? I don't know the distance, but it was a distance where you couldn't see that far. And Nathanael knows it. And immediately his response is what I just said. A moment ago, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. His attitude completely changes. But again, he's going upon it because of what Jesus said, not because of who Jesus is. There's a lot of people today that want to follow the Lord because of what Jesus may be able to do for them, not because of who Jesus is. We need to be following the Lord and following after Jesus because He is God, because He is our Creator, because He is our Redeemer, because He is worthy of our praise. Even if He didn't do one thing for us, He'd still be worthy of our praise. And Nathanael, he's all ready to follow Jesus now and call Him the Son of God and the King of Israel, which are both messianic titles, by the way. There are about 5 or 6 messianic titles in Scripture, and those are 2 of them, the Son of God and the King of Israel. And so He calls them by the messianic titles. But it's because of what Jesus has been able to do. And in Nathanael's mind, he's thinking, aha, the king's come, so we're going to gain the country back. Jesus is going to show him what he really needs to be understanding. And that is how God is working and that God is to receive the glory. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? No, the Lord said that in the last days, the false Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to come and he's going to have all kinds of signs and wonders. And there's going to be people that will believe in him and look to him as the Messiah, as the one who is the great hope of the world, simply because of the signs and wonders. Not understanding what he's really saying, what his true character is, and who he really is. Jesus is saying, so you're saying you're going to come and follow me and you believe in me because of what I've said. That is not the reason. What Jesus is saying, you need to be following me because of who I am, because of my character, because I am truth, and because of why I have come. Thou shalt see greater things than these. Now, there's greater things that he's going to see. Some of the things that we talked about just briefly this morning, what Jesus shared with the Greek people that came and wanted Philip to bring them to him, where he explained to them that he had to die, as a corn of seed needs to go into the ground and die before the fruit can come forth, and really speaking of his death and his burial and his resurrection and all that was going to happen and why he came to deliver men from their sin. And when he shared that with them, that was going to be much greater than being able to tell you, I saw you while you were sitting under a fig tree. The salvation of your soul is greater than seeing or saying, I saw you under a fig tree. Being able to change you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Being able to transform your character and make you someone who believes and follows after the true and living God. These are all greater things than this. Jesus' disciples, shortly before he left, he said he had to leave and he was going to send the Comforter to come on to them and that they would do greater things than he did. And they were probably thinking, well, what greater things could he do? Jesus fed the 5,000, really probably over 10, in the one time and 4,000 another time. Healed people of their illness. He cast out demons. He raised people from the dead. How were the disciples going to do greater things than that? Well, we know that the disciples did do greater things than that and that they took the gospel to the then known world. It started out with these handful of men and followers who turned the world upside down, bringing the gospel and proclaiming the truth of God's word. Jesus was in one spot in Israel, and in the southern part of what today is Lebanon, what would be an area of Phoenicia at the time that Jesus was there. And then he was in what would be east bank of the Jordan River or Jordan today. And that was about the area that Jesus traveled. He didn't travel any further than that. Yet today in the world, his disciples have taken the gospel throughout the whole world. And people's lives have been transformed all over the whole world. So greater things were going to be seen than just seeing someone underneath a fig tree. And the Lord tried to share that with Nathanael. And then he tells him in the last verse what specifically that is. And he saith unto him, verily, verily. Whenever this is the first verily, verily that we see in John's gospel, whenever you see verily, verily, truly, truly, we're to listen. Because Jesus has got something very important to say. All of Scripture is important, but these are principles that we need to grasp because they're things that he wants us to hear. Whenever it's said, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, listen. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, why did he say that to Nathanael? You ever stop to think about that? Why did he say that to Nathanael? Nathanael, he said, was an Israelite without guile. He was an Israelite that desired the truth be spoken. Well, if he was an Israelite, he would be a follower of whom? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the promises given to them, right? Because he was an Israelite without guile, a zealot. Jesus is telling him, you're going to see greater things than these. And one of the things is angels, heaven open, and angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Who saw that? We studied it in Genesis. As Jacob was coming back, going into the land of Haran, and not probably knowing exactly what faced him, God caused him to see this very thing. Angels ascending and descending. But where was the Son of Man? Where was Jesus? He was at the top of this, of the stairs as the angels ascended and descended. The appearance is that Jesus is going to be on earth as angels ascend and descend here, because he said, it says that they're descend. It says, and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. It's the exact opposite of the way they were before. They were descending and ascending. Now they're ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Nathanael would have known that. And also, just as the Lord showed Jacob, he was showing the same thing to Nathanael. The power and the authority comes from God. And God is the one who has the angels and commands the angels. And it's God's power and authority with his angelic hosts, which are his messengers, gone out to do his will for his people. They are going to be an integral part of the work of his church. God's people today, a lot of times, we do not know when angels are there protecting us, where God has sent them, and who has sent them, and who's doing the bidding to send them to minister to us. The Lord. Jacob wanted Nathanael to understand he wasn't just Messiah of this world. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of all creation. And he showed this to him, to this one that was a zealot, to the Israelite of Israelites, because he would have known immediately in reference back to Jacob that was the same vision that he had given Jacob when he wanted Jacob to understand in whom do you trust, Jacob? And where do you find your power, Jacob? And where do you find your protection, Jacob? It's not from your ability to be cunning and crafty. It's from me. And he wants Nathanael to understand this same thing. It's not enough just to come because Jesus could say a few words, but it's to come because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths and apply these truths to our lives. Lord, now we pray that you would just go with us the rest of this week, allow us to have a blessed week, and one where we can share with others the hope we have in Jesus. This we ask in his name, for your sake and glory. Amen.